Hello, everyone. I'm Harvey Brownstone, and today's guest is an actress and producer who's rapidly making a name for herself, not only in the movies, but in her advocacy. She gave up a promising legal career in her native Mexico to pursue her true passion, a career in the film industry. She's appeared on TV in a number of shows, including Glam Girls, Crone, and In New York. Her movie performances include Faded Echoes, The Vice of Water, Salvation, and the award-winning Still the Earth Moves, or La Tierra Aún Se Mueve, which she also produced and which was named by the British Film Institute as one of the best films of 2017. Her highly anticipated new film, El Carrito, is about to be featured at the South by Southwest Film Festival on March 12th and 16th, with a special online screening on March 13th. Our guest is a creative executive at Splinter Pictures, a New York-based film production company focusing on creating highly artistic and character-driven stories. This enterprising and charismatic young woman also founded La Filmadora, a home for storytellers of underrepresented backgrounds and a special hub for Hispanic and Latinx storytellers, with a focus on creating and promoting content that is culturally authentic but never stereotyping. She's a powerful advocate dedicated to bringing better representation and fighting misrepresentations of minorities on the screen. I'm delighted to welcome Ellie Zavala to our show. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Harvey, for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Ellie, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I am a retired criminal court judge. So
yeah,
of course I have to ask you, why, after graduating from law school, did you decide not to be a lawyer?
Well, actually, that's a very funny story because one of my biggest teachers told me you were supposed to be a minister of the court because I was really good at law. But honestly, I didn't give it up. It was all part of this, I don't know if unconscious plan, but for me, I've always wanted to make stories, to make films, to do theater. So when I was fortunate enough to choose a career to study after high school, I was like, okay, I can study communications because in Mexico, that was the only career that has film on it, or I could study law, and I think that I'm going to be better equipped when pursuing a real career in the things that I'm passionate about. So I was like, okay, the smartest move is to choose law. And actually my area of specialization is IP and copyright because of this. So yeah, it was kind of unconscious plan, I think.
So you see your legal training as a helper in your film career, correct?
Yeah, it's definitely a super strong foundation of what I do. That's actually one of the reasons why I've been able to found these new production companies, these new creative hubs, because I have the legal foundation, the knowledge, the know-how of how to build this from the ground up. So yeah, definitely.
You know what I love about that? I have interviewed so many actors and actresses who signed contracts that they never read and ended up regretting it. But you, I have a feeling you're going to read every word of every contract you put your name on it.
Oh, yeah. Even the smallest little letter, I'm going to read it. And that's actually it. Like, I think that we live in a society. And as a society, we have rules. Those rules are called laws and regulations. So if you know the rules of the game called life, you have better chances to win at it. So that's why. Yeah, definitely.
What did your family think about your decision to leave the legal profession and pursue a film career?
Well, it wasn't easy for them, especially for my dad, because even though I'm the eldest and I was kind of like not the golden girl, the golden boy, literally, like I was supposed to carry a lot of stuff moving forward with some plans for my family, et cetera, et cetera. They were like, yeah, I could do that for sure. But you know what? Life is so short. And I don't want to be hopefully 80, and look back and say, damn, why didn't I try to do this? Why didn't I try to do this thing that it's the thing that really motivates me, the thing that I'm always daydreaming about? And that at that time, which was making films. And I was like, well, you know what? It's not that I'm not gonna practice law. I'm not gonna practice it in the way that maybe you would expect, but believe me, my day-to-day life involves dealing with negotiations, IP, copyright. So I certainly put law into practice for sure.
You studied drama in Mexico and at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Los Angeles and at the Stellar Adler Studio of Acting and the Linklater Center in New York City. And you've been working very hard at your craft since your first film in 2008. Have you felt welcomed by the American film industry?
Yes. Yes. And it's part of the American industry, meaning the nurturing part. The teachers, the faculty, all these, how can you say that? Like the nest of the American film industry where the craft is formed. It's being very welcomed. But I think that's natural because at the end of the day, every creative, it doesn't matter if you're from Mexico, from the US, from France, we are sensible beings. So we connect through the deepest part of our humanity. And we connect through that. So I felt very welcomed in that sense. But the other part of the industry, like the real rough part of the industry, meaning the show business, it's been kind of an interesting trip or an interesting journey, but it's been rewarding. I mean, I think that somehow and at some extent, I've been fortunate enough to contribute little by little and project by project. Doesn't matter if it's a short, doesn't matter if it's a TV show, it doesn't matter if it's a feature, it doesn't matter if it's in development or if it's already out in the world, to contribute to reshape a little bit of this, of the way that the industry, the show business or that part of the industry is working. So it's not welcome. It's that I think that this part of the industry was not used to that. So it's like, okay, no, listen, we have stories to tell. We're not going to be just narcos or maids or whatever. We are also lawyers, teachers, doctors, and we want to tell that those stories. So allow us. Because there's an audience for this story. There's a crave for this type of storytelling that is authentic. So give us a little chance to prove you that we have what it takes to make it in the part of this industry that is called show business.
Now, you're not just an actor. You're also a producer. You produced 8 films so far, including Still the Earth Moves, or La Tierra Aún Se Mueve in Spanish, and it won a very prestigious film festival award in 2017. Congratulations, Ellie, on your success with that film.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Harry.
Do you like being a producer as much as you enjoy acting?
It's different. It's a different part of your brain. Of course, I enjoy acting way much or way more because, how can I explain it? It's, I don't know, you have to feel it to understand that trip. And it's like you expand yourself when you're acting, when you're being truthful under imaginary circumstances. It's something out there. It's kind of this rush that as an actor you're always seeking because it's indescribable. But on the other side, producing is the business part of filmmaking. And that's something that it's so innate in me. Like when I was a little kid, I was called by my friends and by their families, like the business girl, because I was always selling stuff. So I don't see myself not doing both.
Ellie, I had the pleasure of seeing your new movie, El Carrito, when your publicist sent it to me. You play a street vendor selling Mexican food in New York, working extremely hard to support your elderly father. Your character decides to take a business risk with surprising consequences. And that's all I'm going to say about the plot so people can discover it for themselves. But Ellie, I have to tell you, it's an absolutely riveting and emotionally powerful film. What drew you to this story?
The story itself. Again, I think that one of the things that drives me is to give voice to the voiceless. And I think, and I've seen, because I live in New York City, and I've seen when I walk through the city, how people who try to make an honest living by being street vendors are often overlooked. And I was like, but we are all humans. There's a human story underlying there. So I was very driven to tell that story, to tell the part of the human experience that is in there, because it doesn't matter. In this case, it was a street vendor, but it could easily be in other profession. The underlying human trait is connection and is solidarity and is community. And that was one of the things that drove me to that attract me to this film. And most of all, the experience of working with the community of street vendors here in New York City, I think that was one of the most rewarding parts of making this project, because I could see firsthand the bustle of a kitchen. I was part of a community kitchen, and seeing the interactions between these women, this group of women that really supported each other. And then after being in the kitchen together, they drove to the streets, and seeing that hustle, oh my goodness, it was, and that's by far the best part of this film. So yeah, all of that was the thing that drove me and that attracted me to this project.
We're going to play the trailer for the film now. Watch this.
Solo estaba tratando de ayudarla.
Yo puedo hacer.
Este es mi lugar.
Yo no veo ninguna reserva.
¡Tamales! ¡Tamales! Cinco dólares.
Muchas gracias. ¿Qué pasó?
Ellie, what really amazed me about the film is that in only 14 minutes, the filmmaker was able to create all of the emotional engagement from the audience that you normally only see in a feature-length film. I found myself getting very attached to your character, really caring about what happened to her. That's just amazing, don't you think?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think that it was a very well-done film, for sure.
Now, the film is about to be featured at South by Southwest Film Festival on March 12th and 16th. And there will also be a special online screening event on March 13th. Our viewers can get all the details at the South by Southwest Film Festival's website. So, Ellie, tell us about the work you're doing at La Filmadora.
Yeah, well, actually, right now, we're about to expand our team. We currently have several projects in development. 5 features and 1 TV project. So we're very excited about that. We're working with an Emmy producer and writer in one of those projects. So that's the work we're doing. Like, we're opening doors for other creatives like myself, who we don't often see ourselves fairly represented on the screen. So we have to take matters into our hands and create this type of content that it's not only creative, that it's not only artistic, but that is authentic. So yeah, that's what we're doing with La Filmadora.
Well, I really appreciate the work that you're doing to make stories about underrepresented minorities culturally authentic. Do you have confidence that we can eliminate biases and prejudice in society through cinema?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from my point of view, my personal point of view, I think and I truly believe that the screen, doesn't matter if it's small, big, medium, or the big screen or the cinema screen, is the mirror into which society sees itself, either as a reflection, as it is, or as an aspiration, as it wanted to be, as it wants to be. So definitely, I think cinema has the power of reshaping the way society sees and aspires to be. And that's my biggest aim with La Filmadora, contributing to build a better inclusive society through film and TV.
Do you think that Hollywood is doing enough to increase diversity, not only with actors, but with writers, directors, storytellers?
The effort is there for sure. I mean, all the major players are betting on this. And I think that's the smartest bet, because in a global world, the way we're living it, we have to understand that this world is diverse. And we have to understand that the screens are global. And we have to understand that the content has to be a reflection of this time and day in our human experience, if that makes sense. So I think that even though it's not yet enough, I think we're in the right path for sure.
You know, when you think about show business as a business, it's there to make money. And if we don't represent different communities, we are ignoring a huge potential audience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. Especially, for example, and I just can't speak in this part because this is one of my major foundations of my identity as a Latina, as a Latinx person. We are one of the major audiences out there, and we are often very overlooked. So there's a big, big, big audience there that is craving seeing themselves out there. And again, being something else besides the narco, besides the maid, besides the bad guy and the servant, and which has nothing bad to it, but it's not, that's not the only thing that we are. So yes, there's potential there.
So what do you think has to happen for the film and television industry to be truly diversified and inclusive?
I think the initiatives that are in place right now are a good starting point, but we have to increase those initiatives. We have to increase the money to create content. We have to increase capital for companies that are creating this content. We have to increase not only for in terms of Latinx content, but also in terms of gender. And this is something that is kind of frustrating, but women, companies that are founded by women have in life less money to make their business grow through venture capital, to angel capital, to any type of capital. So I think that if the film industry is willing to walk the talk, a lot of money has to be put on the table to make it happen and to allow the people that can make those change use that money to create more content, to create diversity, to bring diversity, to create job opportunities to diverse and inclusive talent. So, yep.
Ellie, I want to quote something to you that you said in a recent interview. You said, "I refuse to erase my accent. I can modify it if a role requires it, but I share it with millions of people. If I erase this accent, it's like saying that our voice doesn't matter and doesn't need to be heard." Ellie, I understand what you're saying, but many actors, especially from England, for example, when they're playing American characters, they've had to change their accents for different roles. Isn't that just part of being a versatile actor?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying if the character requires it, for sure, that's part of being an actor. But just because you think that someone with this accent cannot be a teacher or a lawyer, I do not agree with that. But if it's an essential part of this character, of course, it's like building that character as it's like taking that part of the character and building it through it. But if it's not necessary, then why shouldn't we put on the screen other type of characters that sounds different? That's important for me, that it's not only about the looks to see something different, but we have to also hear the diversity.
It's a very good point, and it's a point I've never heard made before. With all the interviews I've done, I think it's a very valid point, and I'm proud of you for pointing out that we need to hear people that sound like we do.
Exactly, because otherwise it's like saying, no, what you're saying could be right, but the way you're saying it, it's wrong. And no, I don't agree with that.
So, Ellie, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, with La Filmadora very well established in its way to become a media powerhouse that can create valuable content for our audiences, that can be the way to go or the home for underrepresented talent, that has opened some doors for up-and-coming talent, and that is building a community that it's a bridge between people. At the end of the day, audiences, creators, actors, writers, producers, the gaffers, we're all human beings. So, yeah.
Well, when you become one of those big show business powerhouses, I want you to promise me that you'll come back on our show to promote all of your new projects, because I'm very proud of you and I'm following your career with great interest.
Thank you. I promise you that. And from your worth to the ears of the universe.
Well, I must tell you, Ellie, I predict a very bright and important future for you. I think you're going to make a real difference, not only in the film industry, but in the world. And I'm so glad we had the opportunity to get you on our show before you become unreachable. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you. Thank you. And the first of many, hopefully.
Yes, you are always welcome back. I'm very interested to know what you're doing and what your new projects are. And if El Carrito is any sign of your potential, your sensibility, your emotional connection with an audience, I can tell you right now, I'm going to be interviewing you on the red carpet.
Hopefully. Bet on that. Hopefully. Thank you.
I wish you the best of luck with all your projects. I hope you'll come back on our show to promote all your films.
For sure.
Our guest has been actress, producer, and advocate Ellie Zavala, star of the new film El Carrito. My name is Harvey Brownstone. Thank you to our producer, Steve Silver. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all the great interviews on the Harvey Brownstone Interviews YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified when new videos are posted.